Blog Talk Radio.
On the air, we've had some technical problems here today. You're waking up with Linda McShann. This is Thursday. This is August 14. We've had an exciting week. We've had exciting weekends, and we've had a few technical problems here. I have some callers on the line. Let's see who's here. Give me one moment. You're on the air. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda McShann. Who's calling?
Oh, my name
Hello?
Is Michael Tindall.
Hi, Michael Tindall. I am trying to reach out to everyone. We had major technical problems here today. We were out in the dark for a while. I'm so sorry that you had to hold on so long. We're on the air here. We have maybe about 15 minutes to talk. Listeners, this is Mr. Michael Tindall that is going to give us some information here. We call him Sonny, but I'm going to call him Michael Sonny Tindall. He's been with Whittier Law School for over 30 years, and he's retired from there, and he's going to share a few things with us. Mr. Tindall, we're going to kind of like get into this briefly again. I must apologize to you for our technical problems. So kind of talk to us about some of the things you did at Whittier Law School. What was it about out there? This is for research for attorneys and law students, and I know that it's been around a long time. So I'm going to give it to you for a few moments, sir.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I have been with the law school for a long time. As a matter of fact, we started out in Los Angeles. It was not a very large law school at that time, but there is an association that sort of monitors law libraries, particularly to make sure that they keep up with the current information for the students to learn. And, of course, the lawyers to come in and use the library to get this information also. And that association is called the ABA, the American Bar Association. And they periodically monitor the law libraries to make sure they're up to date and that they have current collection. And actually, they were the reasons that we moved from Los Angeles to Costa Mesa, because we had to continue growing the collection at that time. But as you know, times changed, because since then, which was 1984, when I started, and we Costa Mesa in the early 90s, we no longer need to grow the book collection, which shows you how technology has changed in just that length of time. So now everything is basically online. When I first started there, we were using manual and electric typewriters. And, of course, you know where we've gone from there. So it's been quite a journey, and in a sense, a really exciting one, because you see how the world moves, how quickly the world moves. When we got to Costa Mesa, the computers took over, and I don't know if many of you remember that quite a while ago, we used to use card catalogs for those of you who are older, you remember that. Of course, now there's no need for anything like that anymore. Part of my job was in keeping up the card catalogs, making sure that they were current. Now, since everything is on the computer, we no longer have to do that.
So let me ask you, so because of the technology and the swift, everything moving so quickly with the technology, I know that law libraries carry a lot of information because that's where the law students go and attorneys go in to do a lot of research. So everything that was like carded and done on typewriter is now on computer. So when this change came about, you had to like get in with the change and get the computer expertise to bring in everything because you were the person that saw all the materials and the books when they first entered. Is that correct?
Well, when the librarian orders, looked for the material that they might want to order, then they would send me the catalogs that they were choosing the material from, and part of my job was to check out that material to make sure that, to begin with, that we didn't already have this material, and so that we could order it. So I would see everything that they were going to bring into the collection.
So if anyone wanted to know anything, they could. Actually, you knew everything that was there, so you was like the go-to person, knowing what was there, what was not there. And isn't it amazing how you said how quickly the world moves and how things change from the manual to the electronics. And as we're speaking today, you know, things are changing now. And we all have to actually jump in and get with this technology move. Even, you know, I'm against you punch out. Whatever you key in is what you're going to see. And it's always good to sort of like stick to the old-fashioned way sometime to like draft it out before you happen. A lot of times it's a waste of time. But a library of that sort, which carries basically legal information, for research for law students and attorneys, I know that at one time it was exclusively for the students, but when speaking with you, you say you're not sure that it's totally open to the public, but you know that there has been changes there, and still changes are happening now. So if I wanted to go in and do research, would I be able to just go in as a regular layman, or would I have to either be an attorney or a student? Can I just walk in and check out something or use the library? Is it there for public use?
Oh, yeah, it's public friendly. And, yes, you would be able to. I personally don't. We haven't had a lot of foot traffic from the general public in there, but we do. From time to time, we do see people coming in and looking for material. Usually if somebody is in some kind of lawsuit or something and they want to kind of figure out what the attorneys are doing or what their job should be. Yeah, people
right.
do come in from the outside. But for the most part, it is usually just the students and the professors are people who are having legal problems. One of the things that we have there, which is very good, I think, and we've always been concerned about what's going on in the community, and so we have a clinic for particularly like for women who may be having problems, financial problems, or problems with their husband or something. So we have this kind of clinic for them to come in and seek advice and sometimes assistance, you know, so that's very good. So sometimes we see people coming in with, and it's kind of children friendly, that particular clinic, with we have lots of toys and everything for that, for children to keep them occupied in those periods.
Oh, that's great. So, this clinic that is set up, is there a fee charge for the service, or they just provide the service free of charge, pro bono, or just legal counseling with no fees? Is this a free service that's set there?
Well, in general, I think it's just counseling, and I don't know how it may evolve if they need extensive legal counseling. We're not. Our law professors naturally are basically lawyers, but they're not. I mean, they're professors trained to teach, so
right.
they don't go into courtrooms to plead cases.
Okay, but
I mean,
you
they're basically just professors.
Okay, so that they can give you, like you say, the guidance and the counseling. And that's something good to know. Now, Whittier College is located in, was that Costa Mesa at this time?
Yes.
Okay.
No, not Whittier College. Whittier College is in Whittier, but
Whittier
the
law
school is,
okay.
Is in Costa Mesa.
It is in Costa Mesa. Well, this information is good to have, and especially with the clinics set up for women, you know, with situations, and it's children-friendly. And it's always good to know that, you know, these type of places do open up for the communities because, you know, everyone's not in school and everyone does not have, you know, just right direct contact with attorneys or legal things. So that's a good thing to know that they do offer that service. So, Michael, Mr. Tindall, you have retired from there, and I know that you were there for a long time. How many years did you work with Whittier Law School?
I was there for 30 years.
30 years is a long time to, you know.
It does seem that way to me, too, now. But we know time goes by very quickly.
It does go by quickly, but now you're resting. And also, I'd like to let the listeners know that you are also a great artist, very, very creative. So since the time that you've been away, have you picked up the paintbrush on the canvases yet, or you're just sort of like relaxing down a little bit?
No, to begin with, I would not necessarily categorize myself as a great artist. I do enjoy painting. I had in the past, and I do plan to resume that at some point, but right now, no, I haven't. I'm trying to just relax for a while, and maybe in the fall start doing some other things.
Okay. Well, just to relax down, it's a very exciting thing to be doing something for such a long time, and then all of a sudden it stops. It takes you a while to sort of like get readjusted into just what direction you want to go into. But the most important thing is that you're here to see a beautiful day, and you can relax back, and you have so much information that you can share with others. And we here at Waking Up with Linda McShant are so happy that you wanted to share this with us. I have never been to Whittier Law School, and I'm in the Costa Mesa area. I will go out and visit that library because, you know, in libraries you can almost travel around the world. That's why I tell the young adults, just go once a week, you know, get in the habit of doing that. And most librarians and persons that are in libraries are very, very helpful. And they can help you search out and give you the direction and all the information that you need to work on whatever project. And libraries are very, very important. As a matter of fact, the young adults, I see young mothers taking their young children in. And most libraries do have children's sections, which it brings a smile to my face, because if you started at a young age and you plant that seed, then it's already there. So it's not such a some adults to this day that I have met have never been into a library. And I encourage them to go and just, you know, spend some time. Find out what you can find out. And everything is computerized and with all this technology and stuff, and with the e-books and the online this and the online that and the audio information, it's a great experience. So I'm just going to thank you again for taking out the time to come on to Waking Up with Linda McShann. I apologize for the technical problems that we've had, but you know how technology goes. And to ask you if you would at some time come back on and share some other things with us. May we make that request of you, Mr. Tindall?
Yes, yes. And thank you, yes.
And I'm going to say to you that once you pick up that paintbrush again, even though you don't say that you're a great artist, I have seen some of your work, and I would like to request that you do a great painting for me. Colors, colors, colors. You know, I like bright colors. So if I could put that request in and get you to agree to whenever you decide to work on that canvas again, that maybe the second one out, I won't take the first one, will belong to Waking Up with Linda McShann. May I put that request in?
Well, let's make sure that I will pick that paintbrush up. That's a little incentive for me.
Okay.
To do that. Oh. I thank you very much.
Thank you
so
much.
For your interest in that.
Yes.
And
I'm going to hold you to it.
All right.
Thank you, Michael Sunny Tindall, and we will be calling you later to come back on and share some stuff, because I know once you make that adjustment and decide which way you want to go, what you're going to do, you'll come back on and share that with us. And we thank you for sharing with us on Waking Up with Linda McShann. And I will speak with you later, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, and
thank
have
you.
A great evening. Okay,
you
bye-bye.
You too, thank you.
morning to Waking Up with Linda McShann. It is Thursday. You know, last weekend we were out and about taking care of many, many, many events. On Saturday, there was the Leimert Park 8th Annual Book Fair. It was very, very exciting. We were at the Baldwin Hills Mall. There were panels. There were children's stages. As a matter of fact, my little co-host, Miss Nene Kirby, asked me to host the children's stage with her on Saturday, and did we have fun. There were storytellers there. There was the musician Maceo, and he is awesome. If you've never witnessed Maceo, the next time you see his name, take out time to go there. The children were excited. There were book giveaways, gift giveaways. The mall was full of exciting things. Even Soul Train alumni was there. It was an awesome, awesome event. And on Sunday, there was the Little Miss African American Scholarship Pageant. That was held at the Wilshire Ebell. And Nene was the 2013 Queen for the Little Miss African American Scholarship Pageant. And that's not a beauty pageant. That is a pageant about academical and skill. And, you know, I found out something from one of the persons in the audience that those young ladies are not even allowed to wear makeup. If they wear any type of makeup, that they lose points. It was something to witness. As a matter of fact, I saw a few young ladies that I didn't even realize that were in the pageants from friends that I had a chance to reunite again. Those young ladies were beautiful. They worked in many, many categories. They expressed their goals and their ambitions, and the new queen was crowned. She will be on the show, not this Sunday. We will be out in the field, but hopefully teams are talking with little Nene. We'll bring her on, and she can share some information with you. So we're going to keep rolling here. We're going to be waiting on Miss Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of That Wound. She will be coming on to share with us her segment, and it is going to be a very, very exciting breaking away from the expectations from her book, and she's going to be talking about embracing the beauty that lies inside of you. So we're going to play a little bit more music and wait for the next exciting person to come on.
Just not the same. And me died cause I fell.
Everything starts with you. You must forge yourself through your own efforts. I urge each and every one of you to create something, start something, and make a success of something. That is the essence of human existence, the challenge of youth. Herein lies a wonderful way of life, always aiming for the future. And you know, that's what we're here about here. Now, on Sunday,
Little Nene, nor myself will be on. She will not be hosting. We will be preparing for a great event that's coming up September 7th, and that is the Omni Youth Music and Actors Award. That's going to be held September 7th, 2014 at Lockshare at Carolina's Theater at Cal State LA. If you're interested in purchasing tickets, the number to dial is 818-754-2447. The number again is 818-754-2447. That is under the directorship of Miss Marlene Dove, and this will be the 11th Omni. And once you see the talent and the young adults performing for you, you will also be speechless. This is to work with after-school programs. This started way, way back, and she has top talent. And they go from opera to hip-hop. These are young adults out there, very, very talented, very, very creative, music, singing, dancing. It is really actually something to witness. That is the Omni Youth Music and Actors Awards September 7th at Cal State, Los Angeles, through Lakshya at Caroline's Theater. It's going to be a great event. Do not miss it. And while we're speaking of great events, on Friday night, which is tomorrow night, grand performances, there's a new addition there called the Listening Room, and there will be a free concert there, free, and that's at Grand Performances, and they're located at 350 South Grand Avenue. And the director of programming there, Ms. Leanne Hahn, requested that I keep reminding you to come and show up. This is family-friendly, good music. The only thing that you would have to do is pay for parking. It is awesome. There's usually weekend events there in the California Plaza. This is a new addition. So check that out. And that's Grand Performances, the Listening Room at 350 South Grand Avenue. And go check it out. It's free. It's fun. It's good food, good people, and good music. We're going to take it on a little bit further here. I just would like to share with you that, you know, we should never, ever get amnesia. And I never do a show without showing appreciation for the persons who woke me up so that I can wake you up. And now we are waking each other up together. So just keep in mind, always show that appreciation. We're going to look on the line. I think we might have Ms. Haynes coming in with us. This is Stephanie Haynes. Let's see if she's on the line. Good evening. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda McShane. Is this Ms. Stephanie Haynes?
Yes, it is. How are you?
Hi, Stephanie. How are you? How is everything going with you?
I am great. And yourself?
I'm great, and I know that we had a bout, and I'll share with the audience so that they can also send prayers that Mom had a little bout in the hospital. Is she doing okay?
Yes, she's fine. She's home now.
Oh, she is home. That is good to know. Well, we have Ms. Stephanie Haynes on the line. This is the author of The Healing of the Wound. And Stephanie's going to work with us today like she does every week and get us busy with homework and mind thought and relaxation and breathing. And your topic today will be what, Stephanie?
Embracing the beauty that lives inside of you.
Embracing the beauty that lives inside of you. Well, Stephanie, you know, I saw you this past weekend, and you gave me a beautiful birthday gift, which was my work. So I have it sitting right here in front of me, and we're ready to go. Just get us started here. It's all yours.
Okay. So I would like to start off, you know, to create a relationship that takes you all the way to heaven. You have to accept your body completely, meaning that whatever shape, size you are, you know, you have to accept that completely. You have to love your body and allow your body to be free to just be, to be free to give, free to receive, without being shy, because shy is nothing but fear. You are beautiful no matter what your mind tells you. That is a fact. Others are free to see whatever they want to see. When others judge you, they are not seeing the beauty in their own life, beautiful or not. If you are aware of your own beauty and accept your own beauty, their opinion doesn't affect you at all. The only difference between the beauty of others is the concept that people have. You are what you believe you are. You have the right to feel beautiful and enjoy it. Honor your body and accept it as it is. Love comes from the inside. It lives inside of us and is always there. You can only perceive the beauty that lives outside you when you feel the beauty that lives inside of you. So I have a quote, and it says, "Lack of self-respect warps the mirror. I will walk away from this distorted image of my, for the illusion become part of my landscape. I am whole and unique." So I'm going to read that again. Lack of self-respect warps the mirror. I will walk away from this distorted image of myself before the illusion become part of my landscape. I am whole and unique. So I want to share a poem that my daughter Tracy Sutter wrote, and it's called Soul Love. And it goes like this. Words cannot express how much you mean to me. You are my everything. You are the manifestation of my unspoken prayers that flows from the deepest desires of my heart. You became what I didn't know I wanted, what I thought I didn't deserve. Though you were there all alone, my eyes were draped, covered by fleshy desire. I pray not my will be done, and not knowing that walking in his will brings me straight to you. You have helped me to become a better person. You inspire me to walk upright and in dignity and integrity. You are my hope of a better tomorrow, and knowing that with you by my side, the pieces to my puzzle seem to be a little clearer, more complete, and every time I see a portion of my puzzle, I smile, seeing how perfectly we fit together. I'm in love with my smile, your touch, your compassion, your honesty. I am in love with you. My heart rejoiced at the thought of you. My soul forever longed to be in your presence. I found he whom my soul loved, and my soul loved all of you. Now, this was written by one of my daughters, Tracy, and I mentioned to her, you know, before she get into a relationship with someone, that she really had to heal her relationship with her father, and she had to embrace that. And she came up with this beautiful poem after she, you know, went through her human revolution and transforming her life. So I have some questions for you. So embrace the beauty that lives inside of you. Question number one, how will you create relationships that take you to a heavenly place? Number one, how will you create relationships that take you to a lovely place? Number two, have you accepted your body as it is? If so, how And if not, why? Number three, are you able to give and receive freely? If so, how? And if not, why? Number four, care about another person's opinion about you? If so, why? How will you honor your body? So those are five questions that we're going to work on tonight. You know, I'm going to go back over them again. One, how will you create relationships that take you to a heavenly place? Number two, your body as it is. And if so, how? And if not, why? Number three, are you able to give and receive freely? If so, how? And if not, why? Number four, do you care about another person's opinion about you? If so, why? And if not, why? Number five, how will you honor your body? Some healing thoughts for you. Something you might want to jot these down. Something you might can look at every day just to see, you know, when you're going through something, just need a little picker-up or just a reminder. So number one, the past is over and cannot be changed. This is the only moment I can experience. The past is over and cannot be changed. This only moment I can experience. The next one, I trust myself and I trust life to support me and protect me. Next, I create miracles in my wonderful world. I am open to the wonders of the universe. I am willing to see how and where I need to change. I have many dreams, and I know that I deserve to have these dreams come true. I now transform anger into positive ways. I love and appreciate myself. I feed my body nourishing foods and beverages, and I exercise in ways that are fun. I earn an excellent income doing what satisfied me. I know I can be, I make up my mind to be. Let me read that again. I earn an excellent income doing what satisfied me. I know I can be as successful as I make up my mind to be. I experience love wherever I go. Loving people fills my life, and I find myself easily expressing love to others. The answers within me come to my awareness with ease. I deserve the best, and now. All my needs and desires are met before I can even ask. I give myself permission to be all that I can be, and I deserve the very best in life. I transform the needs to blame anyone. I accept the people around me as they are. I am guided throughout this day to make all the right choices. I only desire that which is for my highest good. All of my friends understand my needs. I have many friends who love me. So, Linda.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I'm over here on page 71. I'm right here.
Oh, okay. So, so that's the end of that section. So, you have any questions for me?
Yes, I do. I have many, many questions. First of all, I'd like to, again, thank you for my wonderful, wonderful birthday present of this wonderful, The Healing of the Wound, A Healing Journey, and this workshop, workbook that goes with your book. And before I get started, can you let us know how we can get this book and also your information? And then I'll ask my questions.
Okay, you can go visit my website at www.fashionofbelief.net. That's www.fashionofbelief.net. Or you can email me at fashionofbelief22@gmail.com. So that's fashionofbelief22@gmail.com.
Okay, and a telephone number?
Phone number is 323-605-2706. Once again, 323-605-2706.
Okay, listeners out there, you have that. Stephanie, this, I feel so good this week because for the past, oh, God, ever since we've started, you know, my hands are cramped when I finish your segment because you always put us to work and give us something to do and think about. But now that I have this wonderful workbook in my face, I just check out as you're talking. And the first one that you talked about, the past is over and cannot be changed. This is the only moment I can experience. You know, I shared with you a while back how, you know, I attended a wonderful workshop, a wonderful transformation workshop, and this was all we did, you know, was step across the line and leave that stuff back behind. But from time to time, because we know that we gain, this stuff does not come into our lives overnight, and it's been embedded there. So what happens when you can tell yourself the past is over and cannot be changed. We only know that. And this is the only moment that I can experience. When you drift off to going into a direction that you want to step back across that line that you left, how do you push yourself through that? What steps do you take to not retreat back there again?
Well, it's the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always tell my clients, you know, to journal. To write, you know, that's why I created a journal, you know, with the workbook, because, you know, it's a process. So when those little triggers come up or the little moments come up where, you know, your past come up, don't shut it down. Visit it. Write down how it makes you feel. What emotion comes up for you? You know, is it anger? Is it resentment? Is it guilt? Shame? You know? So taking responsibility on your part, because, you know, we cannot control anybody else. It's us. You know, so when those experiences come up for us, it's for us to step back and look at it and say, okay, what is that in my life that is causing this to happen? Is it fear, lack of self-worth, you know, or do we have resentment? Are we blaming others for our unhappiness or for what we do not have? So it's time for us to examine ourselves, you know, to write those things down and address them. And if it means to write a letter to an individual that may have caused harm to you, then write that letter. You know, you can send it and you can burn it, but the most important thing is writing it out. Visit it, because if you're not, it's going to continue to come up in other ways. And some of the ways that come up in the way your behavior, how you communicate, how you treat others. So and the most important thing is really getting to learn to live in your authentic self. No more being that doormat, you know. You know, last week we talked about honoring ourselves. You know? So the most important thing is being respected. learning to use that I statement, being assertive in your communication to whomever it may be, to make it a win-win situation for you and the other individual, having that higher respect for others as you would have them to have for yourself. So the most important thing, Linda, is to not push it away, because sometimes we avoid certain situations, then we tuck them away, and then when we get triggered by it, then it comes up for us.
A big explosion.
Yes. So the most important thing is in addressing it when it comes up. Mm-hmm. Write about it. How it's making you feel. Who's in the picture? You know, when we did that forgiveness meditation, you know, we asked you how it comes up. What happened during that time? Who do you need to forgive? And why?
Right. And that's the most important thing, forgiveness. But sometimes it's so hard. And I tell a lot of young adults, and I speak with a lot of young adults who have issues, you know, and when you get a certain age, it's a parent issue. And it's very difficult for me to talk about a mother or against a mother. So when I'm approached with mother issues, it's a bit hard. You know, you can't just say get over it. You can't just say, you know, you try to direct them because mothers are very important. So when I'm approached by young adults and they're, you know, not feeling so well about their mama or their father, most of the mother, I have to direct them into another direction because I'm very stern with that as your mother. And if it was not for your mother, you would not be here. So I'm trying to learn how to help them kind of move forward, along with me moving forward myself, because we all have those lines that we've stepped across, but we still want to revisit them every now and then. But it's like with the young adults, you and I can talk about it. We've got some wisdom here, but when I am having problems gaining the patience to just like not just go all the way in on them, because I really want to, you know, say another thing because I don't put up with it. So you have always been the type of person that can always say or sit down and say, you know, how, like you say, write it out. Talk about it, you know, go with that forgiveness. And that is what I admire so much about you, and this is the type of things that you share with others and you train others to do. I'd like to ask you, because I've known you a while and I know how you operate, and that gentleness, that thoughtfulness, when I want to say get over it, you say, well, you know, who do you think you need to forgive? How did that come about? Was it from experiences that you've had and things that you had to work through, or is it something that you've always had? Because this is a special skill. And you are the person that can help readjust anything that needs to be addressed. So I just kind of want to put that back on you. How does this all start? What can one do? I know it's about writing. I know it's about forgiving. But some people just don't want to forgive. What do you do with those type of people? Or they're stubborn. Well, they don't want to make the change.
Well, for me, for my experience, it's having two strokes, you know, because I didn't always have a good relationship with my mother. Mm-hmm. You know, I held a lot of resentment towards my mother and my father. You know, that's one of the reasons why I had written the book.
Mm-hmm.
From the things that was transpired and how I was abused by my parents.
Okay.
So, and everybody has to take responsibility of their actions. And especially, I mean, whether you're a parent or not, and I heard you saying that it's hard for you to talk to youth about, you know, our parents, and I know we have to honor our parents, but, you know, they always, it's a universal saying that, you know, we cannot disrespect any individual, whether you're a parent or not. It doesn't give you an okay to abuse any individual.
True.
You know, and so we, as parents, we have to understand that. And then we, as children, we also got to understand that we choose our parents. So what is the lesson that each and everyone need to learn or teach? Times we're teachers and students that simultaneously. But the most important thing, the most important thing is being able to respect each other.
Yes.
Whether you're a parent or a child. You know, and the line of work that I do, and I work with a lot of women that has been abused, especially by their mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and most of them can't choose their mother as role model. You know? So, what we all got to understand that we all come here with our own karma. And we have to live through our own karma, meaning taking responsibility of it. And then show actual proof with our life that we're going to do our own human revolution and not blame anyone for our unhappiness and take that full responsibility. And I think once we do that, and that's how that's what I had to do for myself, to learn how to forgive and let go. Meaning that not being the victim, setting boundaries for myself, and know that I am worthy to be respected. And then embrace my own beauty. Call Black Jesus, you know, from family members, that I was too black for the family. You know, I was an outcast. I was the black sheep of the family. You know, I was torn down by my mom, by my sisters, my brothers. So I know what it is to feel the ugliness inside, feeling worthy because I went at a young age, I was told that I was ugly, you know, too dark for the family, you know. So, but I turned that poison into medicine. So many people used to say that I was so beautiful, but I never felt that beauty that was inside of me because of the fact that I was abused at a young age. I was stripped from my beauty. I carried a lot of pain, a lot of anger, resentment towards my family. So, but I had to transform that and take responsibility for that and say, that's their stuff. That's not mine. And then I had to start to retrieving my soul, taking my soul back out of different things and places and people, to become whole again. And then I started embracing my beauty that lives inside of me. And then I began to tell myself that I am beautiful. I am loving. I am compassionate. I have patience. I understand you. I feel you. I have empathy. So with all of that, I learned how to embrace each and every individual that comes into my life because I see their pain, I felt their pain, and I know their pain. So it's easy for me to embrace a homeless individual, a battered individual, someone got raped or molested. I understand their pain because I've been where they are. So I understand it on that level, not from the textbook, not for someone telling me their story, but it's my story.
Can say one thing, that you do that and you do it very well, and that's probably why I have my quote, you cannot do and teach the dance unless you do the dance. So it's your embracing of your experiences, and what you felt is the reason why we have this great book, The Healing of the Wound, along with the workbook. It is the reason why no matter where you are, who you see, who's around, that you have that embracing spirit. And that's why we here at Waking Up with Linda Mac Chan are so happy that you share all of this with us every week, because it's many, many young adults out there and many, many adults. But since my focus is on the young adults, I see these things, I hear these things, and you can just see the pain in their eyes. So one reason why we wake up, it's not just to get up out the bed. It is just to wake up everything, and it's persons like yourself and people that, you know, share on the show to get this out there. And the young adults that are listening, listen in. Pay attention. We're here for you. We are aware of what's happening, and we want to assist and support. You know, I don't believe in the word help. I believe in assist and support. Here in Stephanie, when you stated in this prompt number 3, I create miracles in my wonderful world. I am open to the wonders of the universe. That is a heavy, heavy, exciting thing to tell yourself every day. Because when you're open to the wonders of the universe, it's vast out there. And we know that we can make the impossible possible. Sometimes we get a few stares, or we get a few denials. We run into a few haters also. But because we make the statement, I'm open to the wonders of the universe, it makes all things that get in the way null and void. Wouldn't you say?
I agree.
It's null and void. Like you say, embrace the beauty that lives inside of you. If you don't know you're beautiful, you cannot embrace anything. And with the young children, when I'm doing child care, and I hear mothers say, oh, he's so greedy. No, Mom, he's not greedy. He just has a healthy appetite. Because that word greedy is being sunk in. And the next thing you know, you will have a child performing everything in a greedy way. So it's the wording that we use. Like you say, your coloring, you were too dark for the family, or you were the names and things that you were called. I guess I experienced, you know, things, and I've had those things come to me too as a young adult, but you know, I really never ever paid any attention to them, because it was hard for me to pay attention to anybody unless I was talking to myself. So I didn't quite experience it as a child. I've experienced a lot of things as an adult, you know, when you see those roadblocks and, you know, people putting it out there. But once you say, when you know who you are, and when you take the full responsibility, and you have healing thoughts that run within your mind and your life, that kind of stuff, again, is null and void. And you can stand back. You don't have to argue about it. You don't even have to make one statement about it. It's just, you know, stand there with a smile on your face, because as you stated, the way you felt with your family, that's their issue, right? So
what?
We can keep this going and mention this over and over and over and over with the youth that we work with and the workshops that we give. And, you know, it's like the starfish story with me again. They say, oh, nobody's going to listen, and they don't care, and they don't want anything. It's like the starfish story. Hey, I saved that one. Okay? So if each and every one of us get the compassion and the empathy to have the awareness to go back and remember the things that we went through or what happened to us, and some of us that still have, you say, write about it, take responsibility, look at not being a victim, and know that you're worthy of respect no matter what you hear or no matter what you're confronted with, that you can make all of that stuff null and void. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Well, Stephanie Haynes, I am going to say to you, once again, thank you. But I want to know what's happening next week. What are we going to be talking about so I can get my pages ready? I've been writing over here, but I don't have to write as much. This workbook is awesome. Everything is just lined out for me. It's just, it's like here, you know, the poems and the celebration of women. So what will we be speaking of next week?
Next week, we'll talk about relationships with fathers or significant male figures.
Ooh, relationship. Oh, I'm going to like that one. With fathers? And what was the last part?
Or significant male figures.
Okay, significant male figures. Well, that's going to be an exciting one to go through. You know, teens are talking. Normally, we go on Sunday. And I know that you're having a birthday celebration. Now, when is your birthday? Has it passed? Or what day is it?
Well, actually, my birthday is in July.
Okay.
July 21st. But
okay.
I celebrate the whole month of July and the whole month of August.
What is it that?
I celebrate 2 months. And I do that because I give so much of myself throughout the year.
Okay.
Every human being that I come in contact with.
Yes, you do.
And I do a lot of community work. And my job within itself, I deal with a lot of battered women.
Okay.
So in the month of July and August, I do something special for myself. I'm rejuvenating myself.
Okay.
And it's very important for each and every one of us, you know. But it's something that I've got for the last, I believe, the last 5 years I've been doing this.
Okay.
Really celebrating me, you know, finding each day, whether doing something spiritual, which I do every day, but I do something during those 2 months, you know, get myself prepared for the holidays.
Okay.
You know, so, because I give so much during that time. So this is a time for me to rejuvenate and to really, you know, get back really centered and, you know, so I can be able to give more.
I hear you. I love it. I love it. It's all about paying it forward. And, you know, when I speak with my professors and they look at me so crazy and, I do very well and I'm enjoying what I do. But sometimes I have to tell them and I have to remind them, you know, because we have, you know, different people with different personalities. And when I just get tired of listening or, you know, if they come a bit incorrectly or, you know, get a little bit out of bounds, I have to remind them. I tell them, you know, I said, you know, we're preparing these young adults or, you know, what do you want to call it, corporatism or whatever you want to call it, to go work on Wall Street. I said, I'll use that. I said, I've been on Wall Street, okay? I said, my mission and vow is a legacy to give everything that I know that I'm gaining and will learn back to the youth and make sure when I pass those batons that I give it to a person that knows what you're in to hold it on. So when you say take care of yourself, well, you're making me laugh because I celebrate the whole month of August. But in the beginning of the year, no matter what I purchase for myself, I say this is for my birthday, and that could be in January. So I would say that I think I do the whole year, but you do the 2 months, and I just take care of the 1 month. So you were on the 29th of July?
21st
of July, and I'm August 18th, which will be this coming Monday, and it's no telling what will happen, and it's so great to be able to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and tell yourself how great you are and how appreciative you are. So I understand the celebration. We won't be on this Sunday. We have this Omni Youth Awards that will be happening September 7th, and I will give you more information about it because if you are in the city, I think it is something that you would enjoy to see the young adults and all the talent and the way this is done and feel the heart of Marlene Dove, who is the director of it. I will give you more information. I know you'll be celebrating a little bit this weekend, and I will see you for the celebration because I'm sitting up here now looking at my pre
birthday gift, The Healing of the Womb, A Healing Journey with my book and my workbook. I keep it out. I have so much admiration and appreciation for you. And also, I'm going to ask in front of all the listeners, fill in a slot bar class because I need a little bit of work here. And if I'm going to have anyone work with me spiritually and work with me health-wise, it will be Miss Stephanie Haynes. And Stephanie, I'm going to take out this time to thank you. And I'm writing this down and letting the listeners know that you have been listening to Miss Stephanie Haynes, the author of The Healing of the Womb. Stephanie, it has been great. And let's talk further. I will see you for your celebration. And happy, happy birthday.
Thank you so kindly.
All right, Steph. I'll see you. And thank you so much.
And you're welcome. And have a great evening.
All righty. Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night. Bye-bye. Sunday, it is Youth Calling Time. We will be out at rehearsals, auditions. We are getting prepared for a wonderful Youth Music and Actors Award that will be happening September 7th at Cal State Los Angeles at Laksha Carolines Theater. The number to dial is 818-754-2447. The director and founder of The Omni is Miss Marlene Dove, and does she have something in store for you? You know, we love you. We are going to miss you. We will be back on the air, which will be Thursday, and that's going to be on the 21st of August. This is my birthday month, so I'm taking in all my birthday wishes from all of you out there. You know, Leos are very, 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 very plentiful in this universe, and we are great people, and so are you. We love you. We will be speaking with you next Thursday. Enjoy your week. And remember to embrace the beauty that lies inside of you. That was the discussion that Ms. Stephanie Haynes spoke with us about. And we had Mr. Michael Tindall on telling us the importance of going to the libraries and getting familiar. It's a lot of information in those books. We love you and have a great week.
Early May. Just as hate knows love's a cure, you can rest your mind sure that I'll be loving you always. Make me the path.